Houston, it's time to turn up the heat. From Hiram Clark to Lake Houston, breaking news, bold takes, trades, and trash talk, you name it. Get ready for the hottest sports talk in the city.
I'll let your boy.
The B-Block is hot on the drive.
There it is. Good open. Thank you, big voice man. Even though you've taken shots at me over the years, that is a strong open. That means, Clint, we are joined by B. Scott here on a Wednesday, 440. What's good with you, man?
Hey, look, I want to thank the big voice guy, but can I shout out Tyler? Because I know that the My Block Scarface touch to it has to be from Tyler's Houston roots. No way the big voice guy thought of that on his own.
Guilty.
So shout out to you, T. Mill, for doing your thing back there.
Appreciate you, Skeezy. Happy to do it. Love you joining us every Wednesday, man.
Yeah, man. That's right. Nicely done.
All right, let's get things going. I posed this question to the people in Clint earlier today. Obviously, the big news, Jaden Higgins is out for the year with a torn ACL. Obviously, this is not the Will Anderson, Derek Stingley, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins level loss. If those are the top of the damn, you can't lose those guys. On a scale of 1 to you can't lose those guys, where do you think this one lands? Because we got people texting in throughout talking about, I turn the radio on and everybody's like, oh, what are we going to do? And I find out, oh, the number two receiver got hurt. How important is this, or how big a deal of a loss is this to you?
Yeah, those guys that you mentioned, that you listed, are, let's say, at a level 10 on a scale from 1 to 10. Jaden Higgins has got to be in that 7 to 8 range.
Yeah.
Like, right below them, but I would say definitely more than a 5. Like, this is not a moderate concern, shoulder shrug, next man up, even though you can say that, because it is literally going to be the next man up, whoever's the next guy that they decide is going to take that role. So you can say that, but it means more than that. And I know this is something that Clint talks about a lot when you talk about your number one receiver. So in this case, it'd be Nico Collins. You want to have a coverage dictator, so a wide receiver who dictates the coverage of the opposing defense. But then after that, you want to have a guy that compromises whatever decision it is that the defense makes, right? That makes them regret whatever decision it is that they make, whether that's, you know, shading more to Nico's side or taking their risks and letting everybody kind of go even Steven, if you will, and having two guys that can beat you one-on-one. And that's what you had in Jaden Higgins. You were forcing the defense to decide, do we want to overcommit to Nico Collins, or do we want to risk the idea of leaving guys on the island with just a little safety help maybe with Nico and Jaden Higgins on both sides? Now it doesn't really feel like you have that guy who's going to make the defense pay the price for already having a coverage dictator on your team and Nico Collins, and I think that that's important. So yeah, this is, I think that this is a major loss. Short of losing your quarterback would be the major loss. But after that, we're talking about Will Anderson Jr., Derek Stingley Jr., Nico himself, Danielle Hunter's in that mix. After that, if they're in the 9 to 10 range, then you got to put, I say, Jaden Higgins right there in that 7 range. On top of the fact that we're not just projecting, and I think Lopez was talking about this, Reg and Lopez were talking about this on In the Loop. It's not that we were just projecting a leap from Jaden Higgins. I think we were doing that before training camp. But once we actually got to training camp and watched him play, watched him produce out there, we were comfortably ready to say that he had taken that leap and that we were going to expect him to fill that role. Then obviously he's not going to be available anymore.
Guys, I fully expect the fan base that hasn't been at training camp to be like, man, what are y'all talking about a number two or a depth receiver for? Man, this ain't no big deal. If you've been at training camp, to B. Scott's point, if you've been at training camp 2 weeks ago, if this happens, that number's at a 5 or 6 maybe, and we're going, okay, you know, get him in the training room and let's see who else steps up, right? That's not the case. This was not only a guy that was having a great training camp, appeared to be creating chemistry, but he was carrying more of the load than any other wide receiver when it comes to all the movements and what the offense was actually asking him to do. So I'm with you, B. Scott. This is at least an 8. This is at least an 8 on how much of an impact does this have on this offense. Now, with that said, we know he's out for the year with the ACL. Where do you believe the Texans go from here? Is this truly a next man up, one of the guys on the depth chart that's had good training camps, or maybe a guy that's been injured? Or do you think they go get some outside help before, you know, back in the day we would have two or three cuts here where potentially a really good player could hit the streets and get cut by another team. In today's NFL, the cut, it's one cut. You go from 90 to 53 on August the 30th, I believe, right? So we're still 2 weeks removed from that, B. Scott. So how do they fill the void of Jaden Higgins both in real time right now as well as down the stretch here in a week?
My sense is that they're going to do it by filling the back end of the roster as opposed to like another guy that's just going to come in and fill Jaden Higgins' role. So if you're just talking about Higgins' role in a vacuum, I think that that is most likely going to be an internal candidate, whether we're talking about Xavier Hutchinson or if we're still doing the hope trafficking thing with Tank Dell. And cross your fingers that Tank Dell is ready to go at some point. I'm not trying to sell false hope on that and say that it's more than what it is. That's just sort of in the back pocket. But in the meantime, it could be Xavier Hutchinson in that role, and then crossing your fingers that Jalen Noel is ready to step into that slot role that it seemed like Xavier Hutchinson was going to fill. Because I think Xavier Hutchinson can go outside and inside. He's the most likely internal candidate in my view, and I think you're just at that point requiring Jalen Noel to really step into that slot position. But you got to think about the options that we're talking about, Clint. Unless there is a trade that I cannot predict at this point or foresee, and certainly that's a possibility, we're talking about the Tyreek Hills of the world. We're talking about the Brandon Cookses of the world. We're talking about DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, guys that are all pretty much age 32, 33 or older, and like the Sterling Shepherds of the world. Like that's what we're talking about when we look at who's on the street. Tyler Lockett. Somebody mentioned Tyler Lockett before. Tyler Lockett, I felt like, was 137 years old. Apparently, he's only 33, but it feels like he's been around for a long time.
He's
so
been shot.
There are not, I think, ideal external options unless there's a trade that we just can't predict here in this moment. My prediction is you see Xavier Hutchinson step into that role and that you hope you get Tank Dell back sooner rather than later, and certainly hope that Jalen Noel is ready to take on a larger role than what he had last year in the offense.
Brandon Scott here with us as he joins us each and every Wednesday. And will all throughout the football season and beyond. B. Scott, I think the bigger story, or the biggest story prior to us finding out about Higgins was, and we sat down and talked about it as we were at that joint practice yesterday, and that is the offensive line and where they are. What do you make of this situation with the offensive line? Because we saw a lot of combinations and maybe some surprising combinations. What do you make of what's going on with that?
A lot of combinations and surprising combinations, as you just said. But long story short, it seems like they're trying to figure out, and this is just based off of what we're looking at practice, it seems like they're trying to figure out their best combination of whether it's Rutledge at center and Wyatt Teller at left guard, or is it Evan Brown at center and Wyatt Teller? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say that again. Evan Brown at center and Keelan Rutledge at the guard spot, right? So is it Rutledge and Teller, or is it Brown and Rutledge, right? And what combination would make their best five? Now, you can even argue that Ed Ingram hasn't had the best training camp as well, so there's a possibility that Rutledge could play either one of those guard spots. You and I talked about this, and I think it was actually you, Ron, who brought it up that made me think about it, and I've been thinking about it ever since, was, is Rutledge their best offensive lineman on the team right now?
We talked about it yesterday.
And it seems like the answer is yes. Like knee-jerk, like first immediate reaction would be yes. And even when I think about it longer, I still feel like the answer is yes. And so that being said, that means you know he's going to be out there on the field one way or another. It's just about finding out, is Evan Brown a better center than Wyatt Teller is a guard at this point? And what's the best usage of Rutledge at this point in his development, given the fact that he obviously has not played center extensively? So they're trying to, it seems like they are still trying to piece that together and figure that part out. You'd like to think that they've figured out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
B. Scott, is that a concern? You've got Braden Smith battling for his football life on the right side with what we thought was Trent Brown, but now all of a sudden, wildly, we see Blake Fisher getting a lot of burn at right tackle as well. And Wyatt Teller, Helen, you even mentioned Ed Ingram struggling. I mean, you literally mentioned the three guys that they re-signed this year. Is that do you view that, because I think this is fair, Do you view that as, hey, man, they did a really good job of building depth, and Evan Brown and up ultimately Rutledge being a depth guard or maybe a starting guard, it gives them options? Or do you look at it through the lens that we've had to in the past of, boy, they really missed on these guys they signed?
Yeah, it really depends on what we think of Braden Smith and Wyatt Teller right now. Like, I can tell you from watching the handful of practices and training camp practices that I haven't had, like, overwhelming concerns about Wyatt Teller and Braden Smith, but clearly they're either on a particular workload and wrap-up period or they've got their own concerns internally. I'm not sure exactly what the answer is.
Man, Wyatt Teller looking like a potential cut candidate if this thing continues.
If Wyatt Teller is a disappointment and Braden Smith is a disappointment, then obviously, Clint, that is not good, because not only do you not – I mean, you didn't sign those guys to be depth pieces. You signed those guys to be starters, and so if it turns out the best that they can do for you is be a depth piece, then they are a cut or trade candidate, right? And most likely a trade candidate of some sort. I've been saying that either one of those guys could be this year's version of Cam Robinson and God forbid, Lakin Tomlinson, right? So that is the waters that we're – to answer your question, yes, it is concerning, right? Because you're not just talking about depth, but you're talking about potentially your high-end talent. And then the residual effect of the Braden Smith thing is now you're relying more on Trent Brown than what I was originally expecting. I thought Trent Brown was going to be the depth piece that you're talking about, the break glass in case of emergency, if you just need him to give you 8 to 10 games or whatever it is. If you're saying that that's your day one right tackle, then now I feel a little bit differently about that, even though I like what Trent Brown was able to do for them last year. So it's going to hinge a lot on, where are those guys at? Is it just a matter of slow playing veterans and keeping them fresh and healthy and trying to prevent injuries like what happened to Jaden Higgins yesterday and what happened to Graham Mertz in the preseason game? If you're just trying to prevent that, then okay. If those guys are just not playing up to the level, then that's an obvious concern.
Real quick. Frozen Hennessy margarita, scale of 1 to 10.
Bro, it is a 15 on a scale to 1 to 10. And I went in there. Here's the thing, too. I went in there yesterday, so it was Tuesday, and they had $5 margaritas. And I was like, I was just going to get the $5 margarita. But they kept selling me on the frozen Henny. And so I had to tell them, I was like, you know what? I hadn't heard about this frozen Henny already. I think I might try it. And so, oh, but you know the people in there are going to show love because it's us in there, right? And you know what I mean when I say that. But it gives me a free little shot of the frozen Henny.
That's the one Courtney got.
Yeah, just as a little test case. And I was like, you know what? Go ahead and give me that. And then they told me, and I'm kind of like you, Ron, when it comes to the flavors and making it, even if it's Hennessy. They say, you know, we got a little peach. We got a little strawberry. We got a little mango that can go with this. You want a flavor? I was like, do not threaten me with a good time. And they did that. So I mixed my Henny with a little bit of ice, a little frozen Henny, with some peach mixed in, a little mango mixed in.
You added on.
Hey, man, let's go. They have a customer. Toasty Yo, Highway 6, Mo City. Let's go.
Hey, B. Scott, to be clear, when you said us, you meant you and Ron, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to be clear. Tyler and I felt left out.
Hey, y'all are invited.
That's all I want, baby. Yeah.
We told you who we feel like they pushing this thing to with Frozen Innocence.
Well, not all whites look the same.
Look, I know who they pushing it to, and I know who they hired. All right, and it looks a particular way.
5 o'clock fire coming up next right here live on The Drive.
It's gonna start a fire!